Welcome to The Geek Art Collector, a podcast about collecting contemporary art in the digital age. Hi, I'm Paul Velder. In this episode, we will talk about collecting NFTs with Ombeline Rosset, an art collector who just a few months ago started collecting art online and quickly amassed an impressively large collection of NFTs. She has recently joined the team at Objekt.com, an online marketplace for NFTs on the Tethos blockchain, as a curator. So, Ombeline, thank you for being here. It's very interesting to have this opportunity to talk to you about collecting NFTs and your experience and your views about the market over the last year.
Thank you.
You have a background as a lawyer, and now you have become this amazing NFT collector, and you're a curator at Objekt.com. And I wanted to start by asking you how you became interested in collecting NFTs and entering this space.
Well, I was collecting physical art before, and I discovered NFTs by chance by looking for information on cryptos on internet. So I was on Twitter and saw some tweets about some NFTs which were art NFTs, and I thought, oh, okay, it's interesting. And I discovered Iketnonk, and I spent 1 month just looking at what happened on Iketnonk, and didn't collect a lot at first. And then I started collecting when I discovered that they are very interesting. There is a lot of interesting art there. And I bought more and more NFTs. And I also saw that it was it allowed me to be part of the community on Iketnonk, which was very, very good. And then, yes, after a while, I started having a big collection. And that's all. It was it all happened very quickly. Mm-hmm.
And so you said that you were actually looking for crypto. So, was this after this very famous Beeple sale, or was it before?
No, it was slightly after. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't hear about Beeple at first. I didn't see the news. And yes, I was just looking for information about cryptos, but it was it was not at the beginning of NFTs. I was quite late, actually. I really started collecting at the end of May.
Mm-hmm. So, and I find it interesting that you focused on Iketnonk. So you were not going to other marketplaces like Foundation or Nifty Gateway or Super Rare at the time. You found like Iketnonk was a place that was very particularly interesting for you.
Yeah, so at first I didn't know about Foundation. I knew about OpenSea, and I saw a lot of collectibles there, which were not exactly what I was looking for. Iketnonk, so of course I had a limited budget, so Iketnonk was good for me, but there were also other aspects, so the ecological aspect and also the fact that the community was very strong there. That I didn't find elsewhere. So when I discovered other Ethereum platforms, I saw that there were a lot of interesting things, but I didn't find the same community. So I decided to stay on Iketnonk.
Okay, because particularly Iketnonk, because it always had this interface problem, like it was very hard to be seen on the platform itself. People were actually promoting their work, artists were promoting their work on Twitter mainly. So I guess all your discovery was also going around Twitter and other social media.
Yes, and because it was hard to find NFTs, artists were recommending NFTs from other artists, and collectors were also exchanging information. So I think that's because because of the website. That's why this community was so active, and that's what made it fun.
So you would say also this constant interaction with the community made it more addictive to keep buying and keep participating?
Definitely, yes. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think maybe I spent too much time on Twitter, but it's awesome to see how many artists were supporting other artists themselves, and also the fact that you could contact them very easily. I could just send a message on Twitter and the artist would answer me. So it's something which I could never do before.
Mm-hmm. And so if you started collecting in May, so you have amassed an amazing collection of NFTs in very, very short time. So I was quite curious about how this process went, now that you're telling me it was part of this interaction on Twitter and this exchanges. But what was the process? Because now I see you have all these different collections with in different categories. And I wonder if all this organization is came afterwards, or if you have some specific objectives in mind, some types of artworks that were more interesting to you.
Yes, at first I was not organized at all. It was like a treasure hunt. There are a lot of things, and you find some gems, and then you buy it. And I had a lot of, I still have a lot of NFTs. So that's why I created these mini wallets to organize them by art style. It's also, I started doing that because I bought an NFT. And then I discovered that I had already bought it. It was multiple editions NFT.
Okay.
And I spent a lot of money on it. I think it was 50 tezos, something like that. And then I discovered my name in the owner's list. And I said, okay, maybe I need to look at what I have. Well, it's good. It means that I bought an NFT that I really liked, because I liked it the second time to buy it again. But so I decided to create different wallet addresses and then just to transfer the NFTs there. And I also like looking at what I have because I really like the NFTs I bought, so it was a great opportunity to look at them again. So the idea from, I think, after 1 month of collecting, so my idea was to have a lot of NFTs that I like, and that I could do a gallery or like a small museum of NFTs one day. So I just collect a lot of NFTs which are very different, and then I organize them because I want to have different things, not always the same style. So before, I used to buy a lot of paintings, like mostly paintings. Some sculptures, but mostly paintings. And thanks to NFTs, I discovered a lot of new kinds of art. So for instance, glitch art, I didn't know that that before. And so for me, the most interesting aspect is to discover new things. So it's I will buy a lot of art which is not related. So at first, if you just look at all the NFTs I own, it will look like a mess. But it's what makes it interesting for me.
And also, since you mentioned you have also bought art in, so to say, traditional formats, you know, like paintings and so, there is this different experience, when you buy an NFT, your collection is immediately viewable by anyone. You can share it immediately.
And also, particularly buying on Hik and Nunc, the prices are much lower, so you can buy much more than you would in a gallery. So how have these two aspects participated in your collecting?
Well, that was very important for me because, for instance, none of my friends know that I like art because they're not really interested in art. Well, the my in real life friends didn't know that because so we didn't discuss about that because they were not interested in art and they never saw my collection. So they only knew that I was buying some art piece from time to, sometime to time, but they didn't really realize how much I was interested. Whereas on Twitter, like I post about what I like so people can see it, like they can see which NFTs I bought. And I could speak with people who like the same artist as I do. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely amazing. That's the most, like, that's the main difference for me with before. compared to before when I was collecting physical pieces. There is also the fact that I started to lack space in mm-hmm. my flat because I bought too many things.
Mm-hmm.
The space is limited, but here I have thousands of NFTs and it's okay, I don't have any space problems. So it's, for me, it's more adapted. It may have, and also there are some kinds of art which well, they're not painting, so it's I don't know how I could have bought them physically. Like they are digital pieces, so it's very different, but I still continue to collect physical art mm-hmm. as well, so it's even if I need to stop because I don't have space, but I bought a physical painting from an artist. I discovered him thanks to the NFTs.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought his NFT first and then I bought the physical painting.
And also a physical artwork. You hang it on the wall or you put it somewhere. If it's sculpture, it's always present. How do you experience your NFTs in your day-to-day?
Well, that's the problem because I want to buy a screen to have them in my house. But at the moment, I'm moving out, so it's not exactly the perfect time to buy a screen. But in the future, I will buy one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also organizing exhibitions in cyber galleries. But of course, I cannot just show all my NFTs at the same time because there are too many. But it's you have this which exists. But I think in the future there will be more ways and to display your NFTs, and also more and more elaborate galleries. So it's at the moment I mostly look at my object. Just own tab and I can see all my NFTs there. It charges quickly and I look at them there and I put them in full screen, but it's not ideal, but it's right. And that's it for the moment, but I just with a screen it would be fine for me. If I had a screen in addition, if you have a screen, you can change. You are not obliged to have the same NFT. So it's great. The only problem is to find the good screen because you have NFTs which are of which have different dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So it would need to look good on the screen, not with a lot of black
space around it. Yeah.
Yes.
In that sense, I have seen how some artists, also galleries or curators, have advocated for creating these platforms where the NFTs are presented in the context of curated exhibitions. So not so much a marketplace where every NFT is individually like fighting for attention, but more providing context to these NFTs as artworks that are presented in this curated context. How do you feel about that? And have you had experience in with these platforms as a collector?
So I was surprised at first to see that not a lot of people were asking for context compared to the traditional world. Like, it is not something that collectors were asking for a lot. Even when there were artists who already had a career in the physical art world, not many people knew about it. They were just looking at the NFTs in a way that is good, because that leaves chances to the artists who were not represented by galleries. But I think it's also good to have some context. But maybe because I come from the, because I was collecting physical pieces before, so I'm used to a lot of context being given. And I think it's great because there are a lot of initiatives like this are great, because there are a lot of collectors who are just new to the art world, and it's great for them to just know more about the art and the artist. So it's I didn't see that a lot yet. I suppose it's going to be the case more and more.
Okay, another thing you just mentioned, also Super Rare Foundation, and I see this different in the Tethos blockchain based marketplaces and the Ethereum based marketplaces, which as I see it, besides also the ecological footprint, there is this matter of prices, that prices tend to be lower on Tethos, but Tethos is gaining more and more attention, and you participated now in Art Basel as a speaker. So, and also as a curator of object.com, I wanted to ask you, what is your perspective on the Tethos blockchain based marketplaces, particularly Object, and this kind of rivalry or differences between Ethereum and Tethos?
Well, at the moment, there are still high gas fees on Ethereum. I don't know how it's going to evolve, because it's supposed to change. I don't know when it will change, but I think that the community is different there, and the kind of art we're selling and the collectors are not exactly the same. So there is not really a rivalry, because it's a bit different. For me, Tezos was a way to discover new artists for artists from countries like Latin America, for instance, because there are these low gas fees, they have more opportunity to mint and sell their works, and I think it will remain the same. It will still remain the blockchain where we can discover a lot of new amazing artists. But it's going to evolve regarding 1-1 art, because there was not a lot of 1-1 art at first on Tezos. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking about Igetnung. That's because there were not a lot of collectors who would have maybe the budget to buy it. And now that there are more and more collectors coming, and there is a higher demand for 1-1 art, and there are more 1-1s being sold, whereas before it was multiple editions. So it's I think it's going to evolve that way, and it's good as well, because there are also more artists who have already a huge career in the physical world who are coming. It was already the blockchain for art, which is why I was drawn to Tezos from the beginning, and I think it's going to continue being that. And for instance, the collectibles project that we had on Object, it's always projects in collaboration with artists who are really spending a lot of time drawing or just it depends what kind of art they're doing, but they are artists who have spent years on the art, and you will see the next collectibles project that it's what I would call a high effort collectibles project. And because you have so much art on Tezos, I think it's going to continue to be like this.
Mm-hmm. And also, I remember at some point in discussions on Twitter, there was this comparison between Ethereum and Tezos as New York and Berlin. And I was always wondering if the Tezos marketplaces, they could happen this kind of gentrification, where if there's a lot of attention towards Tezos and powerful players come in, that prices might go up, that the Tezos cryptocurrency might also go up, and that could change the landscape. Do you think that could happen?
I don't know about the price of the Tezos. Honestly, I'm not sure. It already happened after Art Blocks. After the Art Blocks success, the Art Blocks artists who were selling on Tezos just saw their prices increasing a lot. So the prices increased so much, and there were new collectors coming to Iketnunk at that time, and it felt a bit more like New York than Berlin. But in a way, there was a gentrification. But at the same time, the other artists benefited from it, because as on Tezos, it's artists supporting artists. And it's still the case now. I can see that, for instance, Kevin Abosh, who is selling for a lot, he is also buying a lot of art from artists on Tezos. And it is benefiting everyone. So it's... So it's a bit different. It will be harder to buy art from the most popular artists, but you will always be able to discover new artists and to buy the art at an affordable price. I just hope that it's not going to be too affordable. Like if they're just giving away their pieces because they can't sell it, it's not that good for them. But because you can do multiple editions on Tezos, the artist can still earn a decent amount of money, and the collectors can still collect for a decent price for them. So I think it's going to always, yes, just remain like this, just that the most popular artists we just sell for higher amounts. So it's going to be less affordable. I'm not able to afford the art from some artists I like now. But at the same time, I'm able to buy new pieces.
Okay, then one last question is galleries, as you mentioned, you know, more traditional, so to say, galleries are entering the NFT space and attracting other kinds of collectors, the one that were already buying contemporary art. I have noticed that there is also this tendency to move a bit away from cryptocurrency. So they're offering also to buy in fiat with a credit card. So do you think that for the future of NFTs, they should also be separated from cryptocurrency, because there is not this necessary relation between NFT and cryptocurrency in order to attract this other type of collectors?
Well, I think it certainly attracts new types of collector, because cryptocurrencies are not well seen by many people. And it's sometimes seen as a way to launder money, but I don't agree with this. And NFTs are often associated with that image. So it's, of course, it's the fact that you can pay with euros or dollars is going to be reassuring for a lot of collectors. Still, I don't Well, I didn't find that. The main problem for me is that it's hard to understand how to buy, how to create a wallet, how to stake, how to, well, just all this. There is a specific vocabulary, there are specific things to do. I think things will need to become more simple. I think it will be in the future. Of course, just buying in euros makes things more simple for some people. But it's going to be more, it depends on the kind of NFTs actually and what is the public. Because for food NFTs, for music NFTs, and for some music NFTs and for game NFTs, I think it's going to be just directed to people who are maybe young and who maybe already have cryptocurrencies. Whereas when it's more traditional, it's going to be people like my parents who don't understand anything about cryptos. And then, yes, then maybe just paying with fiat is better.
This is all for this episode. If you like it, click on subscribe and send me any comments or questions you may have. I also welcome suggestions on subjects you would like me to address in this podcast. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Bye-bye.